Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, I've dreaded getting that letter home, and I'm not sure if you've received that letter yourselves, but if you have, it is a dreaded letter. It's not the strep throat letter or the conjunctivitis letter. Well, that's not great either. This is the letter that says there's lice in your child's classroom. And while somewhat disgusting, lice really are not a medical problem. They don't need pediatric treatment. However, they're a pain, and you do have to deal with them before they spread around your house. My guest is Dr. Robert Murray. He's a professor in the Department of Human Nutrition at Ohio State University. So, Dr. Murray, that lice thing, a lovely letter. I just dealt with it 6 weeks ago and last year at the same time.
Yeah, I know. You know, I had three kids, and I went through it with all three of them. It's just a part of being in school. It's a normal part of school.
So first of all, let the parents know and reiterate for them, please, that this does not mean that their children are not clean or that they don't keep a clean house.
Absolutely. This has nothing to do with cleanliness or not washing hair enough or not brushing hair enough or any of those kind of things. This is a minor problem that actually results from kids being in school with other kids. It comes from hair-to-hair contact, and it is just a fact of life. There's probably no way to really prevent lice. The best we can do is try and identify it and then treat it effectively.
So my biggest problem is the identification. You know, it took me a while the first time my child had it to even realize, and then she said, oh, yes, someone has lice, and I'm like, ah. And so then we found it, but looking for those nits. First, you can get rid of the big lice with some of the shampoos out there, right? The live ones.
Right. Well, the first thing I think to say is that the real pros at diagnosing lice are school nurses. They do this all the time, and they're very, very good at it. The ideal diagnosis of head lice is seeing louse, and you know, the live louse, and that is not easy to do because they're fast little buggers, and they, you know, people can't see them all the time. One trick that some school nurses will do is to put either oil or put conditioner on the hair so that the live lice get a little mucked up in there, and then you can actually slow them down enough to see them. Most of the people who are making the diagnosis on their own kids based on a letter do it with nits, the little eggs or shell casings where the little babies used to be, and now they've hatched and gone on their way. The problem with that is that there's a lot of misdiagnosis based on that. Dandruff and other, you know, crud that's in the hair has led a lot of people to misdiagnose or overdiagnose lice and overtreat, and as a result, we're seeing a lot of resistance to the medications.
So that's my problem, because I spot things and I go, is that dandruff? Or is that one of those nit things? And I mean, how gross that is, you know, when you say they're the eggs and then they've made it on their way. And unlike fleas, lice don't jump around from the furniture to the, you know, it's not like that. It's got to be that hair to hair. So not using the hairbrushes, all that. But tell us, how to identify those nits? How do we know it's not dandruff?
Well, I think one of the things is, you know, as I said, the school nurse is a real pro at diagnosing this, and the pediatricians are too. They see it all the time. So it's maybe worthwhile to try the little trick of putting a conditioner on the hair and then inspecting the hair real carefully and see if you can slow down the louse enough to see it yourself. But if not, you know, ask the school nurse to help you. If you're not sure, ask her to look at the child's scalp with you. If the feeling is that, you know, that there is... An infection with this, not really an infection, then it can be treated with the shampoos, as you say. And usually the couple of treatments is quite effective at getting rid of these things. One thing I want to stress, though, Melanie, when you're looking at the nits, these lice don't survive away from the scalp. They really need the heat and the blood that's there. And so, you know, when they've done studies in preschools and kindergartens, and they've looked all over the place at the rugs and the stuff, you know, stuffed animals and things like that around, they don't find lice in there because they just can't make it that far. So it's going to be there in the scalp. It's going to be transmitted very rarely any other way than scalp-to-scalp transmission. And, you know, if the nits are seen away from the scalp, a girl with long hair and you see nits, you know, an inch or 2 inches away from the scalp, that is not an infestation. That may be an old nit or whatever, but it has nothing to do with a live infestation. Those will be right down there within about a centimeter of the scalp.
Oh, that's really good to know, because when I was looking a couple of weeks ago, I'm looking down the hair shaft and all of this other thing. So really, if it's an infestation, it's going to be very close, because the eggs and everything need that heat.
They have to be. And if they get away from it, they die. It's very, very quick. So that's one of the reasons, you know, the old thing, oh, you know, you put your head on a movie theater seat or something, you could get lice. Pretty unlikely. That's not something that's going to happen. And even transmission by brushes and combs and sharing has to be a very immediate thing, you know, where the louse is transmitted directly, and not something where the brush is left on a table for, you know, several hours and then somebody comes along and uses it. That will not transmit it.
Okay, now that's a good point you bring up, Dr. Murray, because the first time that I dealt with it, oh my gosh, we washed all the sheets and the towels and we stripped all the beds and we did all these things like if you had fleas, because you have to
right.
do all that. You bomb and you spray and you, oh my gosh. But then I found out that you don't really have to do that, because it doesn't, I mean, they say you can bag up the child's stuffed animals for a week or give the sheets a quick wash. So tell the parents, I mean, you don't have to go all out freaking out the house.
Not at all. And that is not how the transmission will take place. There are some people that will take the child's pillowcase, and after they've treated the child with the shampoo, so they know they've killed the live lice on the hair, they'll wash the pillowcase and something. But you don't need to be much more aggressive than that. Likelihood of transmission is very, very low.
Do you like those shampoos? Because I went to an actual place the first time, and where we bought one of those combs, and they were like nitpickers. That's what they're called. And they actually cleaned out the... But those shampoos, do you think that those work? Because these people didn't seem to think they work great.
They do. They do work. You know, we've got a number of different classes of them. And I think one of the things that you do have to keep in mind, as is true of all of medicine, it's risk to benefit. And the risk of this, as you mentioned in the introduction, the risk is low. This is not a medical disease. This is a nuisance. So you want to be careful not to use anything that puts the child at risk, where the medication itself is more risky than the louse. The shampoos work well. You know, we've got Rid and Nix and a number of other things that we can use. They've been effective. They're most effective almost always when they're used twice, because the first shampoo kills about 80% of the live organisms and eggs, and about the 20% that survive you get with the second treatment. Most are now recommending that be around day 9 that you treat a second time, and that should pretty effectively wipe out the lice. There are some resistances to those medications that are being seen around the country, as I said, from over-treatment. And so in some cases, you have to use a longer treatment or even a double treatment of some other, you know, some kind of a combination treatment to go after the lice if it's resistant.
Well, very quickly, we only have like about 30 seconds left. Do you advise that the rest of the family members do the shampoo if one child in the house is found with lice?
I don't. I don't think that's necessary. You know, I think that it's important to look and, you know, and see, but I wouldn't panic and over-treat. I think, again, because of the risk-to-benefit kind of thing, I think what I would do is effectively treat the child, check everybody really carefully, and as I said, if you need help, talk with the school nurse. And if you need advice on how to treat and, you know, look at the different options that are available, the pharmacist is a great resource for education about these kind of medications.
That's great advice. And remember, teach your kids not to share brushes, not to wear hats
right.
and headphones and these kinds of things that can spread these little buggers around at this time of year. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.